Well, we have finished, we have completed our tidbits in Timothy, but I wanted to complete it with a biographical sketch of the man Timothy himself. And so I call this Timothy, Paul's proven partner. And we'll see that in Philippians chapter 2. That Timothy is Paul's proven partner. Just a biographical sketch of Timothy himself. Did I get this on? Okay. And I think that what we'd like to see is how maybe parents, how you can raise a Timothy, people, how you can become a man with some of the character qualities of a Timothy. Because Timothy gets high praise from Paul, Paul the apostle, Paul the great apostle who gave us the majority of the New Testament. A man such as him praises young Timothy. And so I think he's worthy of emulation. Let's read Philippians chapter 2 and let's start at verse 19. And this could be a sermon that I could expand even longer than the time that we have in our Sunday school class here this morning. And so I have to move fast, and I'm not going to call for I'm not going to call for any interaction or questions or comments. I'm going to try to just get through this because I do have 6 points that I want to bring out of the character of Timothy, and we could bring out much more if we had more time. But Philippians 2, 19, Paul writing from prison in Rome back to the church at Philippi, where Timothy had been with Paul when they planted the church at Philippi some years earlier, probably 20 years earlier. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus," verse 19, "to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly." Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord God, help me in the pulpit today to be able to elicit something from your word that sparks, Lord God, a desire in people's hearts to change, to be more closely conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, even by the example that we see in Timothy this morning. Help me, Lord God, as I try to preach, Lord, open my mouth and unstammer my stammering tongue. Help the ears, Lord God, that listen, that words would go and sink deep into the hearts. And just honor your word this morning in a special way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse 22, Paul tells the Philippians that knew Timothy, and we're familiar with Timothy, ye know the proof of him. Ye know the proof of him. Timothy was Paul's proven partner. Paul, here he is in prison, and he's waiting to find out, am I going to lose my head, or am I going to be set free? And he says, when I get the news, I need to send somebody back to Philippi to give them the news. And he won't face any danger there. He's not going back to a church that's in crisis or a church that's in trouble there. He doesn't have to go back and set anything straight. He doesn't have to go back and take any kind of oversight. Who can I send? Oh, I'll send Timothy. And so we'd think, well, he sends Timothy because, you know, Timothy, he doesn't have to deal with anything in Philippi. He's not going to have to put the hammer down. He's not going to have to do any kind of rebuking or anything. But I want to remind you, Paul needed to send somebody to the backslidden church at Corinth at one point. And he said, so I need to send somebody to a church, and he's going to have to set them straight. They've got doctrinal error. They've got behavioral error. And he's going to have to take the upper hand and set this church straight. And not only that, but there's these knuckleheads in Corinth that will talk bad about a preacher, and he's going to have to deal with that when he gets there. And not only that, there's there's all these factions, and he might get there and have to deal with, well, you're not our favorite preacher and so forth. And not only that, but they're baby Christians, so they need to be handled with kid gloves and handled with grace. And yet at the same time, they need somebody that's got some kind of force behind him. Who can I send? We read in 1 Corinthians 4, to deal with that, he sent Timothy. Then there's a church at Thessalonica. Oh, Paul left the church, planted the church, stayed there for a while, and left. And then he hears that they've already gotten mixed up on his teaching on the pre-tribulation rapture. They think that they're in the middle of the tribulation because some hardship has hit and some trials have hit and some persecution has come along, and they think they're in the middle of the tribulation period. He needs to send somebody back to correct that. He needs to send somebody back that will comfort this church and have a heart, a pastor's heart for these people. And he thinks, who can I send back? He sends Timothy. This is an amazing man, and so often we think of Timothy as this timid character, and he was. We think of Timothy as this young person without a forceful personality, and that's who he was. And yet, for these jobs that required such delicate work, and that required Timothy even at times to step up and make some enforcements and be a forceful personality, Paul sent Timothy. Timothy was Paul's proven partner. Now, I want to answer the question, what made Timothy so important? What made Timothy so useful to the ministry? What made Timothy Paul's proven partner? And for that, we're going to start in Acts chapter 16. If you turn back there, I told you, hold your place. And let's read verses 1 through 4. Then came he, that's Paul, to Derbe. This is on the missionary journey that he set off with Silas. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So let me stop right here. Paul had been through this area about 5 years prior and first brought the gospel to this area about 5 years prior. And now 5 years later, he gets there and he's going to help the churches that he established on his way through 5 years prior. And he finds there this young man, Timothy, that he probably led to the Lord 5 years prior, probably led his mother and his grandmother to the Lord Jesus Christ 5 years prior. Timothy's mother was a Jewish woman, but she had trusted Christ as Savior. Prior to that, though, she had gotten married to a Gentile. There's no evidence that he was involved in the church at all. He's probably an unbeliever from all the evidence that we have. So here's a woman married to an unbeliever. She's a Christian, and here she has raised a son, Timotheus, and notice he was the son of a Jewess, and she believed, but his father was a Greek, verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. We read that last Sunday morning in Acts chapter 15, the decrees from the church at Jerusalem. What made Timothy Paul's proven partner? Number one, he was proven in preparation. He was proven in preparation. Here we find he's a believer. He's well reported of by the brethren. What brought that about? Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, we read, Paul tells Timothy that from a child, and that's literally from an infant, from infancy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy was taught the Holy Scriptures from his infancy. It would have been the Old Testament, would have been the Holy Scriptures, the only Holy Scriptures that he had, but he was taught the Holy Scriptures from his infancy. Who taught him the Holy Scriptures from his infancy? 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 tells us that it was his mother and his grandmother. His father was not a believer, but his mother and his grandmother taught him the Holy Scriptures from his infancy. And then at the age of probably about 15 years old, when Paul came through the first time, he was ready to trust Christ as Savior, and he did so. He was proven in preparation. Boy, we need more parents that are determined that they're going to raise their children with the Holy Scriptures. Teach their children the Holy Scriptures. It's unbelievable to see even Christian parents neglect that because they're counting on the Sunday school or they're counting on the church. Praise God for the Sunday school and the church, but that does not take the place of a parent in the home teaching the Scriptures even from a child's infancy. And by the way, she did this, his mother did this, without the help of dad. Despite the fact that dad didn't have anything to do with it. In that day, a Greek father would take more interest in a young horse or a young dog than in his young children. Sounds like a lot of American fathers today take more interest in their hobby than in their children. When I do teach on a wife's role in the home and her submission, I do tell a wife that you're not to take on the responsibilities of your husband. But raising children in the Word of God is both responsibilities. So even without dad's help, she trained him in the Word of God. He was proven in preparation. I wonder, maybe you didn't have a Christian upbringing like Timothy had. But you have more than he had. You have the entire Word of God. You have the completed Word of God. You have the Old and the New Testament. And you can learn the Holy Scriptures. Even if you didn't start out in infancy with that head start, you can still learn the Holy Scriptures. I wonder if you're committed to doing that. I wonder, parents, if you're committed to raising your children with the Scriptures from their infancy. He was proven in preparation. Look at verse number 2 now. Timothy, verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Not only in his own hometown of Derbe, but in the next town over Lystra, and in the next town over from there, Iconium, he was well reported of by the brethren. Timothy was not only proven in preparation, he was proven as praiseworthy. You know, it's interesting to me, when a young man is called to the gospel ministry, or it doesn't have to be a young man, but a man, is called to the gospel ministry. And while he's praying about that, and while he's struggling with that question, God, is that really what you want me to do? And while he's seeking answer to that question, so often, his church already knows. So often, his church already knows. Timothy was proven as praiseworthy. He had a reputation by his life, by living the gospel, by living the Christian life in front of other people. He had a reputation that it says he was well reported of by the brethren, proven as praiseworthy. I wonder if you're concerned about living a life where you could be well reported of by the brethren, regardless of whether you're called to the gospel ministry. Timothy didn't know he was called to the gospel ministry before he started living the Christian life. I wonder if you're concerned about that. Timothy was Paul's proven partner. He was proven in preparation. He was proven as praiseworthy. I'm moving quickly here. I do want to finish today. He was proven in prudence. Proven in prudence. Look at verse number 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. If we read Acts chapter 15 last week. What were those decrees? You don't have to be circumcised. That's not part of your salvation. That's not part of the Jews. The Gentiles don't have to be circumcised. By the way, in order to be saved, the Jews don't have to be circumcised. All they have to do is trust Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. Trust Christ as Savior and you'll be saved. You don't have to be circumcised. Timothy says, Paul, I want you to circumcise me. Why? Well, Paul, you know, all these Gentile believers around here, I'm well reported of by them. They listen to what I say. I have some influence with them. I can teach them the scriptures. I can go to other Gentiles and I can teach them the scriptures and they'll never ask me that question. Oh, your father was a Gentile? Did he circumcise you? Did he get you circumcised? Those Gentiles will never ask me that question. But Paul, when I try to walk with you into the synagogue so we can preach to the Jews, that's the first thing they're going to ask. Paul, when we find some Jews somewhere else and I want to give them the gospel, they haven't heard about Jesus Christ. I want to tell them Jesus is the Messiah that you've been looking for. Before I ever have any credibility with them, the first thing they're going to ask me is, have you been circumcised? Paul, you're going to have to circumcise me. Well, Timothy, listen, it's going to hurt. Well, it's not going to hurt nearly as much as these Jews that don't believe in Christ are going to be hurting if they end up in hell. Timothy, you're not 8 days old. It's not going to heal like it would when you were a baby. It's going to be painful for a while. It's not going to heal as quickly. Well, if these Jews don't hear about the gospel, they're not going to get the spiritual healing that they need. Paul, you're going to have to circumcise me. Timothy was proven in prudence. I wonder, Timothy was willing to go through that to be able to give people the gospel. Some of us aren't willing to get out of bed sometimes to go give people the gospel. Some of us aren't willing to suffer a door slammed in our face to give people the gospel. Well, I don't have to be circumcised. I got my rights. I got my liberty. We're carrying a letter from the apostles at Jerusalem that says I don't have to be circumcised. I wish so many of us would get over our rights and our attitude about that. I'm willing. Paul elsewhere said, if meat make my brother to offend, while the world stands, I won't eat any more meat. What are we willing to give up for prudence's sake so that we have a testimony? Timothy was proven in prudence. Oh, he was willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. And this was just a little bit of suffering, but what about a lot of suffering? Hold your place here in Acts. We'll come back in a minute. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 11. I'm going to start at verse 10, actually. Paul writing to Timothy. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. Timothy, you know that which came, verse 11, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Timothy's home stomping grounds. You know what happened to me there, Timothy. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. What's he talking about? He's talking about the first time he came through Timothy's hometown. Timothy was probably no more than 15 years old the first time Paul came through Timothy's hometown. And And he showed up at Derby and he said, I just left Iconium, and a mob of Jews together with Gentiles and together with the leaders of the city at Iconium, a mob tried to kill us. But we found out about it and we left, and here we are. Now we're preaching the gospel here at Derby, and so people get saved, and Timothy's family gets saved. Timothy's grandmother and mother and Timothy himself gets saved. And then the mob from Iconium shows up in Derby, followed Paul there. And they drag Paul out of the town and stone him. And believing he was dead, they leave him for dead. And Timothy saw it. 5 years later, Paul comes through again, and Timothy says, he's probably about 20 years old, he says, take me with you. I can just imagine the conversation. Timothy, you know what happens to people that try to preach the gospel to these stiff-necked Jews. I don't care. Take me with you. Timothy, you know what happens to people that try to preach the gospel to these Gentile idol worshipers. I don't care. Take me with you. God called me to the ministry. What else am I going to do? He was proven under pressure. He was proven under pressure. And I picture this. Paul himself, when he was a young man, he watched a man get stoned to death for the cause of Christ. Paul, when he went by his given name of Saul, before he trusted Christ as Savior, he was part of a crowd that dragged Deacon Stephen out of Jerusalem and stoned Stephen to death. And Paul saw that as a young man, and it affected him. It had to have affected him. How many of you have ever been in the room when someone passed away, even from natural causes? I have, and it affected me. I can't imagine what it'd be like to see somebody murdered and martyred and be there and later realize I was a part of it. I held their coats. I might not have thrown a stone, but they laid their coats down and I took care of their coats, because maybe I was too young to be a part of the mob, but I was a part of it. And then Paul himself dragged out of town and stoned to death, and he looks and sees another young man watching, knowing he's going to be affected by this. I was affected when I saw it. Here's Timothy watching. He's going to be affected by what he sees. And 5 years later, Timothy says, take me with you. Take me with you. He was proven under pressure. Tradition tells us, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened to Timothy, but tradition tells us that Timothy himself was martyred for the cause of Christ. He stuck to his guns. He saw an idol-worshipping parade through the streets, and he tried to put a stop to it, and they killed him for it. He was proven under pressure. I wonder if you're willing to stick to what God's told you to do, even under pressure, even under persecution, even through the difficult times, even to do what Paul told Timothy to do, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, proven under pressure. Turn to 1 Timothy, would you? 1 Timothy chapter 4. What about this man, Timothy? So now we find Timothy, some years later, he's had to take a role as a senior pastor, if you will. They may not have had that title, but he was more or less acting in what we would call the senior pastor role at the church in the city of Ephesus. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says this in verses 12 through 16. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith and purity. Watch this now. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy was proven by progressing and profiting. What I mean is this. He had what we call a teachable spirit. Yes. Timothy, you've come a long way from that boy of 15 that trusted Christ at my knee. From that young man of 20 that said, take me with you and teach me. Timothy, you've come a long way. Now here you are on staff, is the term we'd use today. Here you are on staff at the church in Ephesus, and maybe not even on, not just on staff, but here you are, the president of the elders council or the senior pastor. You've come a long way, Timothy. But I'm glad to see you haven't gotten too big for your britches. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep progressing. Keep profiting. A teachable spirit. We could give a whole sermon just on that point. A teachable spirit. Some Christians, whether in the ministry or not in the ministry. By the way, every Christian should be in a ministry. But some Christians, whether in vocational ministry or not in vocational ministry, it just seems like you can't tell them anything. And if I can once again paraphrase a Ronald Reagan quote, most people's problem is not what they don't know. Is that they know so much that just ain't so. A teachable spirit. He was proven by progressing and profiting. Again in verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let no man despise thy youth. I want to say Timothy was proven by prevailing. He had to prevail over his own natural inclinations. Here's Timothy. Timid. Not a forceful personality. Probably not a loud voice. Not a born leader, if you will. Not someone that would naturally rise to the ranks at the top, and didn't want to be. By his personality, from what we gather, if we read through the scriptures and study this man, here's a man, he didn't want to be the guy. He didn't want to be the leader. That's not how he was cut. That's not how he was built. One man put it this way, naturally wishful to be second, describing Timothy, and not fully sure of himself, dependent by natural characteristic, fellow laborer, but not chief. That's Timothy's personality. But here he is at the church at Ephesus. And he knows more Bible than any of the other elders, probably. He learned it from a child. Here he is at the church at Ephesus, and he's the only one that spent years with an apostle learning the philosophy of ministry. He's the only one with years of practical ministry experience, starting churches, confirming churches, establishing churches, building churches, evangelism. He's the only one. All these other elders are older than him, but it naturally falls to him to step up and take the leadership reins. He didn't want to, That's not how he was built. That's not what his desire was. That's out of his comfort zone. But he prevailed over his own feelings in the matter and did what the Lord would have him to do. He was able to step up when he needed to step up. Not because he wanted to step up, but because he was needed. Proven by prevailing. Timothy, what a remarkable young man. Paul's proven partner. I wonder, would we, each and every one of us, would we ever have a testimony as a proven partner? He was proven by preparation. He was taught the Scriptures from an early age. He sat on his mother's and his grandmother's knee learning the Scriptures. He was proven as praiseworthy. He had a testimony among the brethren, well reported of not only in his hometown, but in the surrounding region. Proven as praiseworthy. He was proven in prudence. He was willing to put his rights second. Put Jesus first and yourself last and others in between. That's the song we used to sing when I was a kid. J-O-Y, J-O-Y. This is what it means. Put Jesus first and yourself last and others in between. He was willing. Why? Because they're dying and going to hell. He was proven under pressure. Here's the hardship that comes from doing what God wants you to do. Here's the hardship that comes from the world when you obey God. Sign me up. I'm all in. God told me to do it. What else am I going to do? He was proven under pressure. He was proven by progressing and profiting. Always maintained a teachable spirit. Don't ever get too big for your britches. Some people's problem is not that they get too big for their britches. They start out too big for their britches. They never had a teachable spirit. They would have never been the one that was taught the Scriptures from infancy. They come out of their mother's womb saying, "This is how it is." A teachable spirit. And he was proven by prevailing. He was willing to step out of his comfort zone. He was willing to do things that he was not naturally inclined to do because of what God wanted him to do. He was able to prevail over his own feelings, over his own desires, over his own expectations, over his own motivations, and be what God wanted him to be. Proven by prevailing. Timothy was Paul's proven partner. Paul names a lot of people in the Scripture. Paul refers to other fellow workers. When he's writing to churches, he mentions other people by name. And he gives praise. He praises the labors, and he praises the work, and he praises the personality of others. Talks about those that addicted themselves to the ministry. Talks about those that risked their life for the gospel's sake. If you read through the New Testament, you'll find nobody gets Paul's higher praise than Timothy. Proven. Proven. All that we would desire to be proven. Or to do, as Paul told Timothy, make full proof of thy ministry. So that someone could tell another church, ye know the proof of him. Proven. Paul's proven partner. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time in the Word of God this morning. And though we've merely touched on each one of these points that we could have expanded on at great length, I pray, Lord God, that it's been enough for us to challenge us. Father, to take stock in our lives, to take stock in our ministry, to take a good long look and determine and decide we're going to be proven. So, Father, help each and every one of us, I pray, in these areas and more. Bless the church services today. Guide and direct. Help our pastor as he brings forth the word from this pulpit. Help, Lord God, our fellowship time, and help our listening and our worship of you, our praise and song, and our worship of you in spirit and in truth, that you would oversee and direct in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.